Okay. I want to discuss today two mitzvos that are related to one another, both of the same nature, but one's a positive and one is a prohibition, one's a negative. So the positive mitzvah is referred to as Vahavesim Shamma, which means it's the mitzvah that you have to bring those offerings that you promised to Hashem, a karban, by a certain deadline to the Beis HaMikdash. So for instance, if somebody commits to Hashem, I'm going to bring a karban, nedava, a voluntary karban, so you have to bring it by the very first regel to occur. So whether it be Pesach, Shavuos, or Sukkos, but by the first regel, first holiday, pilgrimage holiday which occurs, you're required to bring that karban to the Beis HaMikdash. That's what the mitzvah can say. That's the positive command of bringing karbanos, you know, quickly at the right time. So the Torah gives us some space. You know, we don't have to bring it that very day. We don't have to bring it that very moment. We don't bring it that week. We can wait till the next yontif. So if someone was to promise a karban right now, a sacrifice at this moment, they have to bring it by Pesach, because that's the next regel coming up. So we got a few months till that. So that's mitzvah say. That's the positive command. The negative command, which is related, is called bal te'acher, which means don't delay. The Torah says, so I'll read it. The Torah says that when one kisidor neder l'Hashem, if somebody makes a neder, makes a vow to Hashem, meaning to bring an offering, or we'll see also applies to tzedakah as well, which is more relevant to us these days, lo se'acher l'shamo, do not delay to fulfill your word, ki darosh yidrashenu Hashem l'kecha mimach, for Hashem will seek it from you, ve'b'chachet, and it will be a sin. But if you refrain and don't make any vows, there'll be no sin. So making a vow and not fulfilling it is much worse than not making any vow in the first place. Moses Vasecha Tishmor, so you shall guard the utterance of your lips as you vow to Hashem your God, as you spoke with your mouth. So that's what the Torah says. So these are basically two sides of the same coin to a certain degree. There's a positive command that you need to any karban which you vow, you should bring to the Beis HaMikdash by the first regel which occurs afterwards. And there's a prohibition not to delay. Now, the prohibition is a little different than the positive command, because the prohibition itself gives you actually three holidays to pass. So if I was to make a neder, make a vow today for a karban, I wouldn't be violating the prohibition of bal te'acher until all three regalim have now passed. So I'd have Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. Once Sukkos passes, I'd be violating bal te'acher. When it comes to the positive command is I have to bring it by the first regel. So you have that distinction between the two. Practically, unfortunately, it's not relevant these days. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We can't bring karbanos. We can't bring sacrifices. However, halacha tells us this applies to tzedakah as well. It's actually very relevant to us in terms of tzedakah. The Gemara teaches us that tzedakah is included in bal te'acher. This prohibition of delaying does cover tzedakah too. And the Shulchan Aruch says, if you commit to tzedakah, you must give it immediately. So we don't even get to have, necessarily, to the next regel for tzedakah. If you make a commitment to tzedakah, you must give it right away. If you don't give it right away, you violated bal te'acher. You violated this command not to delay. That's only if the poor are commonly found around you. I mean, if you live in a community where there are people who are needy, that's where this applies. If people who are needy are not around, so if you're blessed to be in a community where people are taken care of and nobody is needy, so then you're supposed to separate the money out right away and put it aside for when it's needed, but you haven't violated bal te'acher because there's nobody around to give it to. So you can wait till somebody comes around who needs the money, and then give it to them. The Shulchan Aruch says if you commit to give the money to the gabbai tzedakah, the tzedakah collector, so let's say you have somebody who, you know, distributes tzedakah money in your community. So if you say, I'm going to give him $100, and he'll distribute it properly, at that point, you haven't violated this prohibition until the gabbai comes and demands the money from you. So let's say, for instance, someone gets an aliyah in shul, and he commits, I'm going to give $100 of tzedakah. So you haven't yet, but that money usually goes through the shul, and then the shul distributes it out. So you haven't violated bal te'acher until the shul sends you that little notice in the mail, by the way, you pledged $100, you know? And then if you delay, you've done bal te'acher. I think that would be an example. If the gabbai, if the one who distributes the funds, is not aware of your pledge, you're supposed to actually inform him so that he does come after you. You're supposed to do that. So many of us don't want to inform the shul we pledge money. we don't want them to hound us for it. But you're actually supposed to inform the gabbai tzedakah if there's somebody who's in charge of distributing the funds. You should inform him, I've pledged funds to tzedakah, and therefore you should come after me and make sure I actually pay up. You're supposed to do that.
You said you fulfill fulfilled your obligation once you give it to the Gavai Tzedakah? Is that what you said?
Well, I'm saying you haven't violated it if he hasn't yet demanded the money from you. Once you've given it to him, you've also done your obligation as well. Okay. That's also true. I didn't say that, but that's also true. Okay. Now, let's say you commit the money with conditions, and this is probably more common for us as well. No, I don't mean to give it right away. I mean to give it in 2 months, or I mean to give it on a certain occasion. That's okay to do. If when you commit that money to tzedakah, you make that pledge, you have in mind this is for a certain time or a certain amount or a certain occasion, then that's not an issue of balta'ach. You haven't violated this prohibition because in your mind the commitment wasn't for immediate usage. And also if there's like a standard in the community, let's say the standard is that when someone pledges tzedakah, you know, they get a week to pay up, something like that. So if there's a standard in the community, you're also allowed to keep to that standard. You don't have to give it right away. You can keep to the standard which is in the community. So those are all the ramifications of it. But it does show us, in terms of tzedakah, we have to be careful of what we pledge. Because if we pledge something which should be paid right away, and we don't pay it right away, we violated a Torah command and not delaying our pledges. Because it applies both to sacrifices and to tzedakah. It applies on both areas. So we have to recognize this and keep our commitments in a timely manner. It's a very important thing to do. And it might be wise for us, when we pledge tzedakah, to say some sort of condition along with it to avoid this prohibition. So if I don't pledge money, maybe I should say to myself, you know, when I'm able to pay it or something, or give myself a month, whatever it is, so that I don't run into any problems halachically with this prohibition of not delaying. But this idea not to delay. So we have to understand more, you know, what is the purpose of having this prohibition, not delaying? I mean, it's obvious in many ways. We don't want people to shirk responsibilities. Procrastinating is not always a positive thing to do. So we understand why the Torah wants to demand us to pay things up right away, whether it be a sacrifice, whether it be tzedakah. But let's understand a little more the lesson of this mitzvah. What's the lesson of this mitzvah? So, to start from the actual pasuk in the Torah, the verse where the Torah describes not to delay. The Torah says, Kisidor Neder Lashem, I'll read the pasuk one more time.
Which parsha?
This is in Parshas Kisetze. It's Devarim Perek Chaf Gimel. Pasuk Chaf Beis. It says, when you make a vow to Hashem, lo sa'acher l'shalmo, do not delay to fulfill that vow, because, ki darosh yidrashenu Hashem l'kacham yimach, for Hashem will seek it from you. V'yabachachet, and it will be a sin for you. So the Torah says Hashem will seek the vows from us. Hashem is looking for it. And simply that means Hashem is now expecting it. If you make a commitment, whether it be of a karban, whether it be of tzedakah, you're committing to Hashem himself. You meet that commitment, Hashem is now expecting you to pay it off. We don't want to let Hashem down. That's for sure. Hashem will demand it from us, and we're letting Hashem down by not fulfilling our commitments when it comes to serving Hashem, when it comes to tzedakah, supporting other Jews, institutions, or karbanos. These are all for Hashem's sake, and if we don't fulfill those commitments, Hashem will seek it from us. The terminology used here is darosh yidrashenu, which we translate as he will seek it. I believe that Rav Hirsch describes the term doresh. I mean, there's a lot of terms for seeking in Lashon HaKodesh. In Hebrew, you have, you know, mevakesh, mechapes, doresh. You know, they all have different synonyms to some degree. What is doresh? So doresh means I'm seeking something that rightfully belongs to me. That's doresh. Like, for instance, if somebody loses a lost object, so the Torah says that somebody will doresh. He will seek after it because it belongs to him, right? Because it's rightfully his. So that's drisha. So here as well, Hashem says, once you've committed something for my sake, that rightfully belongs to me, and I'm seeking it, I'm expecting it. It's an expectation. So the first and foremost, when we make these commitments, it's a commitment to Hashem himself, and Hashem is expecting us to pay off. Another practical point is that delaying will cause us possibly to forget and never fulfill the actual mitzvah. We know what happens when we kick the can down the road. Sometimes we just forget about the commitment totally. So I said, yeah, I'll give $100 to tzedakah. But 6 months later, I forgot I made that commitment. And that's it. And then at that point, I don't do the mitzvah. And worse than that, I've not fulfilled my word to Hashem. So one point of not delaying, which is an obvious point, but it's important for us to always consider, is that when we delay and procrastinate, we run the risk of forgetting about the obligation totally. The Kli Yakar, one of the great commentators in the Torah, he says a little deeper explanation. He says that when you act right away, there's no time for the Yetzer Hara to stop you from doing the mitzvah. So for instance, if I say, I'm giving money to tzedakah and here it is, so there was no time in there for someone to come convince me otherwise. But the longer I delay, the Yetzirah has a chance to come in with all sorts of excuses and obstacles and reasons why I shouldn't do it and why the commitment wasn't really a commitment and the person I'm giving it to is a lousy, good-for-nothing, dishonest person and everything else that goes through our minds and we have these commitments. The shul doesn't need the money and then when I give them money, they don't use it right anyways and whatever institution you're talking about. The Yetzirah has plenty of time to jump in and convince you otherwise if you delay. If you do it right away, then you do what you're supposed to do, and nobody's going to stop you. So it's not just I'm going to forget about it, it's that when there's time for things to kind of simmer inside of myself, there's a lot of opportunity for me to convince myself that's not the right thing to do. That verse concludes, Lo yebecha chet, there shall not be a sin within you. And the Kli Yakar says, you could read that the sin means the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah will not get a hold upon you. So if you don't delay, and you give the commitment immediately, whether it be the karban, whether it be the tzedakah, it says v'lo yebecha chet, the Yetzirah will not be able to take grasp of you. That's one understanding he has of this pasuk. So that's a deeper understanding. But it's true in life. You know, whenever we want to do something good, you know, forget a karban or tzedakah, anything. You know, we want to say, I want to go and do a chesed. I want to visit a friend who's not feeling so well. I want to go and call my great aunt I haven't spoken to in 22 years. All these things. So if you do it right away, you did it. But if you delay, then, you know, very often we don't end up doing what we have. We were all inspired at the moment. And then as we delay, things kind of, you know, lose their power, lose their effect, or I have excuses otherwise. So that's the lesson of the Kli Yakar. One other commentator, the Abarbanel, he says that when you delay something you're supposed to do, that actually shows that it at least looks like you regret your commitment. So let's say I commit $100 to tzedakah. But a week goes by, 2 weeks go by, a month goes by, 2 months go by, I didn't give it yet. So deep down, maybe I still want to give it tzedakah. But anybody who sees me thinks that I'm not so enthusiastic about what I'm doing anymore. Because if I was, why didn't I give the money already? And we don't want to make it appear that we regret doing good things, regret committing things to Hashem, or tzedakah, or to the Beis HaMikdash. We don't want to have that appearance. Deep down, maybe we regret it, maybe we don't regret it. You know, that could be looked at in each individual case. But we have to show that we're enthusiastic about it and we can't wait to get it done. Because this is Hashem's will, this is a mitzvah, this is the right thing to do, this is the truth, this is good, this is chesed. And therefore, I need to show that I can't wait to do what needs to be done. As soon as I want to do a good thing, I do it right away. In life in general, forget doing a mitzvah, but things that we don't want to do, we procrastinate. Because we're not interested in doing them. You know, things that are difficult for us, or tedious, or boring, or I'm not interested. So I know, okay, I have to do it, but like we push it off as long as we can until we have to get around to it. You know, you have to pay your taxes. So like, you know, when I can't wait, you know, January 2nd, that's it. I can start booking on my taxes now. You push it off until finally, okay, I got to do it now. Fine, I'll do my taxes. But that's human nature, right?
April 14th.
Yeah, right, April 14th at 8 o'clock at night, right? So that's the, if we don't really regret it, we have to act with diligence. We have to show that we have this excitement for the mitzvah, an excitement for what we're doing, excitement to serve Hashem. And so one of the issues of delaying is that we're projecting at least a feeling that we regret the actual commitment we made. And that's a terrible thing. another deeper explanation comes from Rav Yitzchak Huttner, the author of Pachad Yitzchak. He actually speaks about it in terms of Pesach. You know, the Torah says, you know, the word chametz, which is, you know, chametz on Pesach, so chimutz means that something has sat there. It's been delayed. And when it delays, it becomes fermented, and that becomes chametz. We know that the term is shmartim es hamatzos, so she guards your matzah. So the word matzos and the word mitzvos have the same letters, mem, sadi, vav, and taf, mitzvos and matzos. So the sages explain, you can understand that to be telling you, guard your mitzvos as well. Shmartim matzos, shmartim mitzvos. And the Gemara says that a mitzvah that comes to your hands, don't let it ferment. So a mitzvah to do, don't let your mitzvah become chametz. If you don't do the mitzvah itself will spoil. So Rav Huttner wants to explain, what does the mitzvah spoils? I mean, we understand it's not good to push things off. We understand it's not good to delay. But this terminology sounds like, just like if you leave out your dough, it's going to itself spoil and become chametz. So if you leave out a mitzvah, the mitzvah itself will spoil. What does that mean? So he has a very deep explanation. He says that if we do things very, very quick, so what we've done essentially is we've gone beyond time. We've beaten the effects of time. So you grab your dough and you throw it into the oven, it's matzah now. You can do your mitzvah with it, eat matzah. If you leave it alone, so now time takes its effect, has its impact on the mitzvah itself. That's what he says. Mitzvos are things which are beyond our world and shouldn't be subject to time. No, mitzvos shouldn't age. Mitzvos should not deteriorate. Mitzvos should be done. Mitzvos should not delay. So therefore, if you do mitzvah immediately, what you've done is you've gone beyond the time. You've beaten the clock, basically. If you delay a mitzvah, the mitzvah itself, not only is it just I'm being lazy and not doing the mitzvah, but the mitzvah itself is now kind of schlepped into the bonds of time, time and space. You've taken the mitzvah from being something which is out of our world, and you've put it into the impact of our world. That's what Huttner explains. It's a very deep explanation, but he's showing that the format of doing a mitzvah, the actual way to do it, is quickly, because you're trying to show mitzvahs don't are not bound by the rules of time. That's what you're trying to show. So the longer you push off a mitzvah, the more you've taken that mitzvah and let it be subject to the impact of time. And everything physical is within the realm of time, and eventually it deteriorates based on time. That's the whole physical world works. We want to act that mitzvahs are beyond that. And therefore, a mitzvah should be done quickly beyond the world of time. That's what he says about mitzvahs. So when we delay and we regret doing what we do, where does it come from? So let's take the example of tzedakah for a second. Let's take, you know, again, the mitzvah applies to tzedakah and to karbanos, but tzedakah is something which is more relevant in our lives at this point. Let's talk about tzedakah. If somebody doesn't want to pay up tzedakah right away, so they commit to the shul or to the tzedakah collector or to somebody who's needy a certain amount of money, and they delay paying up, so where could that be coming from? So different commentators explain, you know, a few different roots in the person as to why they would not pay up. So sometimes it's just laziness, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But for not just laziness, one cause could be greed. You know, it's difficult to part with our money. You know, I committed the money, I know I should give it, and it's the right thing to do, but to give away money is a hard thing to do. It's a very difficult thing. So because of our own personal attachment to money, we don't want to pay it up right away. Okay, eventually when I force myself, I'll do it, but I don't want to part with it right away. So there's a few points that we should think about in terms of this topic of greed, as to why, to make it a little bit easier for us to give away our money. One point is that we have to know that what we have is really a gift from Hashem. We're really Hashem's custodians over the money. Our money doesn't really belong to us. Hashem has given us in our lives to use appropriately. So if we're just the custodians over the money, we're just watchmen, basically, but you know it's not really ours. The purpose of the money is to do what Hashem wants us to do with it. And in this situation, Hashem is deemed the right thing to do is to give it away. If you're somebody, you know, there are people out there who work for big philanthropists, and their job is to distribute the money. That's a full-time job. So it's not hard for them to part with the money, it's not their money. You know, I'm just distributing money on behalf of this organization who has billions, and therefore, for me to give away $100,000 to this need or this cause, it's not a big deal, it's not my money. So we should all feel that way when it comes to our money, because our money, Hashem says, okay, this is the money that you have, you're allowed to use X amount for yourself, and some should be given away for tzedakah. That's what we're supposed to do. So I'm just following instructions. Hashem says, give the tzedakah. Okay, so we give the tzedakah. If we have that attitude, it's a hard attitude to have. It's not easy to have that attitude. But that approach to our own money makes it much easier to part with it, because we realize it's not really ours. Another point of it is to understand that the Gemara says a term. It says, melach mamon chaser. Literally, the salt of money is to give away the money. And what that means is, you know, salt preserves. And all of us want to preserve our wealth and preserve our money. So the Gemara tells us that giving away money for tzedakah is what preserves our wealth. We're worried if I give away too much money, I'm going to be poor myself. I can't give away my money, because if I give it away, I'm not going to have it. But it says it both in the Tanakh, and it says it in the Gemara. We have many, many sources that Hashem guarantees if you give tzedakah, that's not going to create any sort of loss for you. The way to preserve your money is by giving it away. So the salt of money is to lack the money, is to give away the money. That's the salt of the money. That salt's the money that preserves the money. So, again, for us, when we give away our money, we feel, okay, I've just lost that money. But if we understand deep down, Hashem guarantees, no, giving away money tzedakah appropriately will not cause you a loss. That money will be recouped in some way or the other. That makes it much easier to give, because we recognize, again, you have to be giving responsibly. If you give everything away, that's not responsible giving. If you're giving in the right way, following the rules, Hashem says that money is not going to cause you a loss.
Cause you a gain.
I guess it could cause you a gain, but I don't know if that's... well, there's a source for that as well when it comes not to tzedakah. There's a source for that when it comes to meiser. You give away your tithes of your produce. So the Gemara says, Asera Kadesh Tisasher. You should give away your tithes so that you become wealthy. Can you apply that to tzedakah money? I I think that's a dispute, actually, if that applies to daka money. That's not so clear.
Tithes are different.
Tithes are talking about tithes of produce. Because the Torah requires you to tithe your produce in an Eretz Yisrael. When it comes to tzedakah, I think there's actually a machlokas, there's a dispute about that, if that same concept applies to tzedakah as well.
Can you just explain again, melech mamon chaser? I understand the words, but
yeah.
The idea that you derive from...
Because when you give away your money, that preserves your wealth. We think giving away money will take away from our wealth.
So what is the connection to melech?
Because melech preserves. When you salt something, you pickle something, it preserves it. You pickle your meat, you make jerky, it will last, right? So it makes it's the salt for your money. It makes your money last. That's what it does. The other point is that we read before on this pasuk, Hidarosh Yidrashenu, Hashem will seek it from you. Which means, well, if I have a commitment and I don't give away the money, Hashem will be sure that money is given away. Hashem will, as it were, garnish our salary from somewhere else to make sure that we actually fulfill our commitments. That's what the Torah tells us over here. So if I say, yeah, I'll give $100 to tzedakah and I don't get around to doing it, so Hashem will have his ways to make sure that money gets where it needs to go. So I'll lose my money in some other way, and it will get to its final location regardless. So I'd much rather give it away in my own free will to where I want it to go, rather than have Hashem, you know, force it out of me.
And you won't get the credit for tzedakah.
And I'll get the credit, yes, correct.
Can you give an example of maybe how Hashem would, how you would lose your money, drop it, lose your wallet, something like that?
That's possible. It could be that you'll incur some other loss, and you have to pay a repairman to fix it. You know, there's a lot of ways it can happen. Instead of giving away the tzedakah so that you're... No, your water heater will blow, right? You have to pay the repairman. Maybe he'll give it to tzedakah. Maybe he needs the money. You know, but you'll have Hashem will make sure that you lose that money one way or the other, and it goes the place it needs to be. So for us to not give it, again, this is if we committed the money, but if we make our commitment and we don't actually fulfill that commitment, so Hashem will be sure the commitment is fulfilled. That's what it means, kidrosh yidrashenu, that Hashem will seek it from us. He's going to be sure that it is somehow, one way or the other, that money is paid up. Hashem will be sure of that. So this is all coming from the perspective of, you know, our attachment to our own money, our greed, our unwillingness to part with money. But other commentators explain that another reason why we would delay is actually a lack of amunah, of faith in Hashem, because we don't feel the pressure. Because we think, okay, if I commit to a human being, he's come after me. But the commitment's made between myself and Hashem. So it's because we don't always see Hashem as a reality in our lives, we don't see it as real obligation. We see it as something much more conceptual, much more out there. And therefore, if we have very strong amunah, we understand that committing to Hashem is a real commitment. It's a concrete, solid commitment which we have to fulfill. If we're lacking in amunah, if we're lacking in our faith in Hashem, so then we don't feel the pressure of that obligation. And that's another reason why one might delay in fulfilling their commitments. But Hashem, again, Hashem will seek it out. And amunah tells us that if we don't give, Hashem will be sure that we do give. And Emunah tells us that a commitment to Hashem is as real, even more real, than committing to a human being. That's what Emunah tells us. So those are two reasons why one may delay or even project regret at a commitment. Now the third reason, which I think is a much broader reason, is laziness. Which the title I sent about on the emails was Procrastination and Laziness. That is the title for this class today. And this is a big topic. You know, a lot of times we want to do what's right. We know what needs to be done. We know we should be doing it, but it's a lot of work, it takes a lot of effort, we have to go somewhere, we have to do something, we have to, you know, it takes our energy that we don't want to actually give to the task. Things that are important to us, an important task, so we do it quickly with diligence. You know, we're not lazy about things that are very meaningful to us. Things that we feel are very, very important. Usually we get up and we do them. But there's an issue that because these commitments very much in our minds are not that important to us, so we get lazy about them. And it's interesting, the Torah's released it. The Torah says, you don't have to give right away. You know, we said before that if you commit a sacrifice to Beis HaMikdash, you have till the next holiday. So right now, you know, right now we're in Teves, Shvat Adar Nisan, I have 3 months. You know, that gives me enough time to get my animal together and bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. I don't have to run right now and do it. So the Torah's realistic about it, but we can't be lazy about it. We have to do things quickly with diligence. So there's a big lesson in this mitzvah about not being lazy, about acting with what we call zrizus, you know, with diligence, with alacrity. That's the way we're supposed to act.
What's the name again?
Zrizus. Zrizus is the Hebrew word. Zrizus. Zrizut.
Mm-hmm.
And that idea is to be diligent, to act quickly. So there's two separate traits I want to discuss, and this really, I think, is the biggest lesson of this mitzvah, which is zrizus, which is acting in diligence, versus atzlus, laziness. Now, those two traits are things we struggle with all the time. And this mitzvah itself is one of the sources in the Torah that it's a terrible thing to be lazy. The Torah says you have a commitment, you have to be sure, lo ta'acher, do not delay, make sure you do it. Havesim shalom, bring it there right away. Don't wait, bring it the next holiday you have, bring it to the Mikdash. And it's a broader topic of acting with zrizus, acting with diligence, and serving Hashem in general, in life in general. It's not just about this mitzvah. This mitzvah can serve as a model, as kind of prototype for all mitzvahs, which is no mitzvah should be delayed. As we said before, a mitzvah that comes to your hands, don't let it become chametz, don't let it ferment. Make sure you do it immediately. And there's so many sources that we have about the importance of zrizus, about acting quickly. So for instance, you know, there's a concept, a very famous concept, called zrizim makdim in the mitzvos. People who are zariz, people who are very, very diligent, they go quickly to do a mitzvah. That's what they do. And every mitzvah is supposed to have that. There's the idea of doing mitzvahs, you know, early in the morning. You know, as soon as you get up, you have mitzvah to do, you get it done right away. You don't push it off. We mentioned before, you shouldn't let a mitzvah ferment. And you find great people in the Chumash and throughout all of history, they always act very, very quickly. One of the great examples is Avraham Avinu. Avraham had just been through his bris. He was on the third day after the bris, a very painful day of recovery. And you find him racing around to take care of guests. Vela Bakar Ratz Avraham. Avraham ran to the cattle. Vaymahir Allah says, so he quickly prepared the food. And he's constantly running around. You know, he's an old man of 99 years old, and he just went through a bris, and he's running to take care of the guests. It's an astounding thing overall to think about, but it shows you that great people, they rush to do what's right. We know it says in Pirkei Avos that you should have Kal Kanesher, Ratz Kitzvi, you should be as light as an eagle and run like a deer to do the will of Hashem. The Gemara says, Olam Yarutz Adam Advar Mitzvah, a person should always run to do a mitzvah, even on Shabbos. Typically, we avoid running on Shabbos. We don't think it's a very good Shabbos activity. But for mitzvah, you're allowed to run on Shabbos. So you want to run to shul, even if you're not late. Even if you're on time, you should run to shul, right? That's what it's saying. If you're late, then for sure you can run too. But you can run on Shabbos, do mitzvah, you should always run to mitzvahs. And running to mitzvah shows it's so important for us to get the mitzvah done. It's the top of my priority list. We said before, I want to make sure the mitzvah itself doesn't ferment. I want to keep it, you know, above time, not within time. And it's really a statement in my life of what my priorities are. The idea, the word in Hebrew for running, larutz, or ritzah, is to run. But it comes from the same root as ratzon, which is your desire, your will. Because people run to that which they desire. So, you know, you're very, very hungry, and the food's ready, you kind of feel that push to get to dinner, right? You know, you want to run to eat the food. When you have a ratzon, when you have a desire, then a person is ruts, a person runs to that desire, as a person does. So we show our true desires by what running to. So sometimes, even if we're not in the mood to run to a mitzvah and do it quickly, we're trying to train ourselves, what are our priorities in life? So we hope to reach a state where we can't wait to run to the mitzvah, that we just our body just kind of races to do every mitzvah that we possibly can do. But if we're not on that level, at least we could try to pretend and act quickly to do it, to train ourselves, this is a priority in my priority list, the top thing is to do my mitzvah, that's the top thing I have to do. The Chofetz Chaim, the famous Chofetz Chaim, it said that when he decided to do a mitzvah, he would always do it right away. So if he said, okay, I need to give tzedakah, he would pick out the money and give it. If he said, I have to go and visit someone who's sick, he'd get up and he'd run to the person who's sick. He would never say, I'll do it later. He always did it right away. Because he knew his priorities. He understood it had to be done. So we shouldn't let time get in the way. We shouldn't let Zahara get to us. We shouldn't let laziness get in the way. Tzaddikim always do things very, very quickly and very, very diligent. Now, on the flip side of it is laziness, atzlus. Laziness, we know, is a terrible thing in life in general, and certainly in serving Hashem. It's a natural state of a person. We all want to kind of just sit back and relax and, you know, and be in a state of inertia. We all like that. You know, naturally, a person likes to have that time of rest. We like to relax by taking it slow. but it says, actually, I forgot. I wanted to get a mishway. I don't know anything that's kept in this room, but I want to read something if I could. Is there a Tanakh anywhere over there? Tanakh I'm looking for. They have not organized as usual, so I didn't bring everything in. What?
Maybe in the other room?
I don't know. I wish I knew the organization in this room.
gatol matzata.
Thank you. Thank you. Talks about in the book of Mishle, in Proverbs, it says, "Al sedei ish atzel varti." This is Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon talking, and he says, "I went by the field of somebody who was lazy, val kerem adam chasar lev, and I passed by the vineyard of somebody who was chasar lev, which means he was not so focused, a little bit spacey, out of it, and then not focused on his work." The entire field was full of weeds. The gedar avanim nehersa, and the stone fence was destroyed. I saw it. I understood it, and I took musar. I took a lesson from it. Me'at shenos me'at numos, a little bit of sleep. Me'at chubuk yirayim lishkav. You know, you shouldn't be sleeping too much. And you should come, and basically that will protect you. So that's the idea of, that's what he says about somebody who's lazy. So laziness means that, you know, you leave everything just kind of rot, the weeds grow, and the world's like that. If you don't tend to things in life, they tend to become overgrown with weeds. You know, things do not succeed if you're not actually focused and diligent about taking care of them. Laziness contributes to us being intellectually dishonest with ourselves, because when we're lazy, sometimes we make excuses, even when the truth is staring us in the face. So another verse in the next chapter of Mishle says, Chacham atzel be'inav. A person who is lazy is wise in his own eyes. Mishiva mishivei tam, wiser than seven people who are giving him rational explanations. So this guy is sitting there on the couch sleeping. He has seven people coming by and saying, why should he get up? He's like, he has good excuses for all of them. Right? So why? Because he's lazy, but he thinks he's very, very wise. He's very clever. He has all the reasons in the book why he shouldn't be getting out of bed.
Excuse me, Rabbi, what chapter is it in Mishle?
So I was just reading from chapter 24 and then 26. Okay. So we find these different
verses. Thank you.
The Mesilas Yesharim, the Path of the Just, in the famous work of Musar, he says that one of the main things that causes somebody to be lazy, he calls avas hanugim. It's loving the pleasures of our world. Because we'd much rather sit back and relax and passively enjoy ourselves than do hard work. Now, deep down, we all know that a person ultimately is happier when they're working hard and accomplishing. But the natural feeling of a person is that I'd rather just sit back and relax and enjoy myself. So one of the causes of being very lazy is because we love just to take in that relaxation and that rest. We know that on the one hand, we know that ultimately we're happier when we actually get up and succeed and accomplish something. And we also know that the rabbis teach us that this world is a world made for work. Olam hazeh, this world is for working. Olam haba, the coming world is for resting. That's what this world is for. Very similar, we have 6 days a week where we work and the seventh day we rest. Shabbos is for relaxation and for resting, but 6 days are supposed to be for work. 6 days of accomplishment, and Shabbos is where we take a rest. Shabbos is where we take our break. This world is for working, and Olam haba, the world to come, is for relaxing. And that's the view of a Jew in this world. You know, we want to always be accomplishing and doing. We don't want to be sitting back and just being passive. We want to be acting. Picture somebody who's like a young, ambitious entrepreneur, right? He's not resting. You know, he'll sleep very little, he'll eat very little, but he'll push himself day after day, week after week, month after month, to make the business, to make it succeed. Why? Because he knows that, okay, give it 10 years, 15 years, I'll be successful, I'll be established, my business will be very, very stable, and I can have a very, very relaxing, easy life. But we all have seen people or know people, maybe we've been people like that, who've been, you know, been ambitious and worked on certain projects, you know, in a way which is in a restless type of way, where we weren't relaxing in any way. We were pushing, and eventually we succeed. And we know that it feels great, and we know that actually leads us to true comfort, and true relaxation comes through productivity. So too, this world's a world where we are young, ambitious entrepreneurs, and we're all trying to work our whole way through this world. Accomplish in serving Hashem, doing what's right, doing mitzvos, taking care of others, studying Torah, etc. And then we know, because if we put in all this work in this world, we will have that relaxation in the next world. That's what we know. So that's one of the things that takes away from Drizus, from acting quickly, makes us lazy, is this idea of loving to relax. But we have to know that true relaxation is meant for Olam Haba, not for our world. And we enjoy ourselves much more if we actually earn and accomplish rather than just sit back and remain passive. Another point made by Nesilas Yesharim is that a lot of times we're lazy because we have fear to take risks or fear of failure. Or a fear of discomfort. No, we don't want to be uncomfortable. We don't want to be tired. We don't want to have muscle aches. We don't want to take a risk and possibly fail or lose money. So therefore, we'd rather remain passive than take those risks and be proactive. But the truth is, he says, and we know it, more often than not, this is really an excuse and not genuine. Meaning, deep down, I'm lazy. And my excuse for not doing anything is because I'm scared of what's going to happen. It's not the fear that makes me lazy, it's the laziness that makes me have the fear. That's the actual quote, Masil Sharma says, "Ein hayira goremes yisatzel." It's not the fear that causes us to become lazy, rather it's the laziness that causes us to have fears. That's what he says. Because essentially it's an excuse. That's what these things are. And it goes, quoting again from Proverbs, from Mishlei, chapter 26. He says that, Amar Atzel, the lazy one says, Shachal baderech, Ari ben harachovos. There's a lion on the road. There's a lion in the streets. So he says, why don't you get out of bed and go do something? I'm scared to go outside. There's wild animals out there. Right? So that's how extreme those excuses can be sometimes. Sometimes these things are just so ridiculous. But trust me, I talked to the guys in the yeshiva. Why did you sleep late this morning? Listen to the excuses that come out of that. You know? Sometimes they can be so far-fetched, so ridiculous. But you know, when you're lazy, you don't feel like getting out of bed. There's many things that we say to justify our actions. So in Mishlei it says that the lazy person will go to the extent to say, I'm scared to go outside today because there's lions roaming the streets. That's what it says. And it goes even further. That's why I have this. The Midrash states, this is a Midrash in Devarim, Parshas Nitzavim, I believe. Yep. The Midrash says that Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, said, seven things about people who are lazy. And then Moshe says something even greater. So what did he say? Ketzalat Amru, Latzel. So what did they say about the lazy man? So Shlomo HaMelech said, you go to the lazy man, and you tell him that your Rebbe is in the city, go learn Torah from him. So the lazy person says, I'm scared to go outside, there's a lion on the road. Quoting from Mishlei. As it says, Amar Atzel Shachal Baderech. And they say, you know what? Your Rebbe, he actually is now inside the city. You know, he's nearby, in your neighborhood. He says, I'm still scared to go outside because there's a lion in the streets. Arriba socha rechovos. Arriba rechovos. And then he says, that there's your Rebbe's right outside your house. He's next door. So he says, I'm scared because I'll go there and the door will be locked. I'll have to come home again. And they said, the door is open. The door is open. So at the end, he's going to say that he doesn't know what to answer anymore. He has no more excuses. So he just says, you know what? Give me a little more time to sleep. At that point, he has no more excuses. He's supposed to sleep more. And then he gets up from his sleep, and they give him food to eat. He's too lazy to even eat his breakfast. And then it says that... it says that Then Shlomo HaMelech says that someone who's lazy will not even farm his fields in the winter. He will not plow his field in the winter. He won't harvest his field in the summer, etc. And Moshe said that the Torah is not only so. Shlomo's talking about, you know, you're able to go outside on Torah, go to the Rebbe, go to outside the city, go into the neighborhood. Moshe, this is the pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says, "Beficha